Before we begin, if you like what you hear on Mile High Report Radio Podcast, don't forget to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, and go ahead and click subscribe wherever you get your podcast.
You're listening to Mile High Report Radio with your hosts, Adam Malnati and Ian St. Clair. Get involved with the Denver Broncos conversation at milehighreport.com. And now, it's time to get to work.
Well, Ian, I have to say, the easy joke here is that the Denver Broncos got beat so bad by the Kansas City Chiefs that the cardboard cutout started leaving in the third quarter. But the truth is, that was pure comedy, that whole game. And you stick around for something that's that funny. I mean, that was comedy genius. It was comedy gold. The look on Melvin Gordon's face in the slow-mo of his pitch on the flea flicker, which I didn't know it was 1978, but here we go. That slow-motion shot of him pitching the ball and then realizing as he was pitching it that he didn't know how to pitch a football. He had no idea. In the middle of the play, he went, "I don't know what I'm doing," and then proved it. And here we are. It was comedy gold. It was the biggest joke in the entire National Football League, and I was the coach from Letterkenny. I am the head coach of the Letterkenny Irish throughout most of this game because it was embarrassing.
For those who don't know, Letterkenny is a show on Hulu, and it's based on a Canadian town where the host or the guy who created the show and who plays the lead character Wayne, it's based on his hometown in Canada, and it's hilarious. So Texas size 10-4, good buddy. Yeah,
figure it out.
They need to definitely figure it out.
Exactly.
Because at some point, they're going to have to start putting cardboard paper, or they're going to have to put paper bags on the cardboard cutouts.
All those South Park characters should have had paper bags on their heads. You wouldn't have known they were South Park characters at that point, but it is that maybe that's the coolest thing that happened in the game, is that the South Park guys paid to have the characters from their show in cardboard cutout form at the game, because that was the only thing that was enjoyable from it. There really wasn't. It was, to say it again, it was embarrassing.
Defensively, the Broncos defense showed up and played out. When you hold Patrick Mahomes to 200 yards passing and you hold that high powered Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes Chiefs offense to 0-for-8 on third down, you played incredibly well. And I that's the only reason that they didn't have 60 or 70 points dropped on them, because I will stand up for this defense and the way that they played. They played incredibly well. They deserve a Mile High salute, because the other two aspects of this team, as I said in my winners and losers, completely pooped themselves.
Yeah, running down their leg, runny poo. It was bad. It was real bad. Again, I just go back to the look on Melvin Gordon's face as he failed to make that pitch was the look on their face the whole game. They just looked bad. And you brought it up before we started recording, and it was an Andrew Mason tweet. So Mace tweeted this out, but I think it's something that we should definitely hit on here. When we talk about the Denver Broncos and are they closing the gap, we mentioned it in our pregame show that we thought that coming out of this game, we would feel good about where the Broncos were. We didn't predict a win, neither one of us, so we got that right. Look at us. But we did think it would be closer. And at the end of the day, I think I'm going to look at my score prediction here because I'm curious about something. Yeah, I was way off. They lost by 27 points. And Mace's tweet, I'll just read it to you because I have it up here, says, in the first seven games of the Broncos' 9-game losing streak, which is now 10, against the Chiefs, Denver's average margin of defeat was 9.4 points. That's good research there, Mace. I appreciate that. The last three games, lost by 24, lost by 20, and then they lost today in this game against the Chiefs by 27. They're moonwalking on this one. They're not getting any closer to the Chiefs at all, at least not offensively, and that's...
Or special teams.
You mean teams. They ain't nothing, yes. Nothing special about them. It's just teams. And they are. They're moonwalking. They're going backwards. And that is that's where the frustration kicks in. But it feels like it's a mental block with the Chiefs more than anything else with any other team. They've been in every game. Every game this season, they've been in the game. But then the Chiefs show up on a snowy, cold day in Colorado, and like you said, runny brown poo down their leg. Just worthless.
And before we get started into how concerning it is, if there's panic or whatnot, Tom McMahon needs to be fired. He should have been fired before this season started. How he has this kind of job security for this kind of job performance is maddening. That's the one thing out of all of this that is getting me more worked up is just the thought that Tom McMahon is still employed by the Denver Broncos. You could pull someone off the street who has never coached football and would do a better job than Tom McMahon. If Vic Fangio does not fire Tom McMahon this week, that is an abject failure on his part.
We have nothing else. That was perfect. That was great. That was a very old school moment there where you went on a rant and then you blacked out and you didn't really know what happened, but you won the debate on that. We have no response, as James Carville would say. We have no response. That was perfect. So you're not wrong. Come on, it's been too long. If I was as bad at my job as he is at his job, not only would I have been fired, I probably would have been arrested. I mean, that's just, it's because it's criminal what he's doing as the special teams coach for the Denver Broncos. Criminal. Someone needs to arrest him. Isn't it John? Shouldn't John Elway fire him? You mentioned Vic Fangio. John Elway's sitting there on his hands too. Pull the trigger, John. Fire the
Joe
man.
Ellis. Joe Ellis should
Somebody.
Fire him.
Who's in charge?
I mean, as the de facto owner, if he really did follow Pat Bowlen's lead, how is this kind of failure okay in your organization? At no point has Tom McMahon shown that he is capable of being a coordinator in the National Football League. I'll go a step further than you. I not only would be fired or arrested, I would be told to never do what you are doing now ever again. I would get a black flag on my resume and on my job career if I was as horrible at my job as Tom McMahon is as his. Yet he is somehow still employed by the Denver Broncos.
He's got pictures of somebody somewhere. That's all. It's the only thing I can think. Dude's got pictures. And what else? Or video or an audio recording of somebody saying something. He's got leverage. He doesn't know how to use leverage on the field, but he's got leverage to keep his job. That's the only thing I can think. That's all I've got. That being said, we should probably talk about the game a little bit.
In terms of that gap that we thought that the Broncos were going to have the chance to shorten up, is it really that wide, or is it more that, like, of what Garrett Bowles and Justin Simmons said after this game? Garrett Bowles on what separates the Broncos from the Chiefs. I think we're neck and neck, but that's just me personally. I don't think there's anything that makes them more spectacular than us. Justin Simmons, when asked if the Chiefs are just that much better than Denver. No, I mean, no. So where's the level of concern with not the Broncos in general, but just obviously the threshold is the Chiefs. They are the kings of the AFC West. They're the kings of the AFC. And until Green Bay or New Orleans or Green Bay or Seattle beats Kansas City in the Super Bowl, because I have no doubt Kansas City is going to the Super Bowl because they own the Ravens. The Ravens just don't match up with Kansas City. So unless Seattle or Green Bay beats Kansas City, they're going to win another Super Bowl. Where is the gap now between Denver and Kansas City? And is it as wide as a lot of people think? Or is it what Garrett Bowles and Justin Simmons seem to think?
Have you ever been to the Grand Canyon? Because that's a more apt comparison than neck and neck. Whose neck? Which neck?
Is it Peyton Manning's neck?
Yeah. Is it Garrett Bowles' neck? Because that's a pretty big neck. It's as if they were standing next to the Chiefs, but to get to the Chiefs, they had to walk in the opposite direction around the world to get back to them. That's how far away they are at this point. And, you know, you talk about the defense and how well they played, and they did play well. They played very well, and they still gave up. Let me check my numbers again. That's right, 43 points. And I know there's a special teams kick return for a touchdown. You've got a pick six in there, but they still gave up a ton of points, even with those touchdowns. And the turnover ratio, obviously the Broncos lost the turnover battle. It was bad all around on offense, and that hinders what the defense can do. And you're right, the defense played well. But what have we learned over the course of the last few years with the Kansas City Chiefs? You're not going to stop them for an entire game. So you have to be able to keep up. And this Broncos offense, it's like they're crawling through the mud while the Kansas City Chiefs are flying a jet overhead. That is the difference in pace and ability. That's just all there is to it. So no, they're not closing any gap. The gap is widening. The gap is widening, as is evidenced by the tweet from Mace and just the basic, just look at what's going on. And we could get into the discussion about is it because of the quarterback? Is it because of the play calling? Is it because of how bad the offensive line has been? Look, it's all of it. It's all of it. It's a puzzle that when it's put together just looks like a big pile of dung. It's Jeff Goldblum in Jurassic Park standing next to Triceratops poo. That's what it is. So, it's bad. And the gap is not any closer. And we thought it was. We were, do you remember how good we felt like 5 days ago? It was amazing. I want to go back.
In terms of the play calling, I wouldn't necessarily say play calling, but it's the formations that Pat Shurmur is using. And Jeff Legwald mentioned this. He said, I'll just leave it here and continue on with your day. In the first half, the Broncos rushed for 92 yards in two tight ends or three tight ends, which is, and now this is the common formation that Pat Shurmur runs for whatever reason. In three wide receiver sets, the Broncos lost a fumble, had an interception return for a touchdown, had two sacks, and one intentional grounding. That's someone who is so hell-bent on running three wide receivers that it's costing his team. Because obviously the key formation for the Broncos when they have success is two or three tight ends. As a coach, your job is to put your team or your specific area that you coach in a situation to have success. When you see those numbers, that should tell the specific coach, I need to run two tight ends or three tight ends and stop this three wide receiver nonsense.
What have we always talked about with coaches? I'll go all the way back to when Kubiak was the coach, when Kubes was in Denver. What was the problem with Kubiak? It was that he could not adjust his own scheme to the talent level that he had. And it is one of the things that makes you a successful coach in the NFL, the stubbornness of saying this is what we're going to do and I know it's going to work. But you have to find that balance. You have to find the ability to say, this is the talent level. This is what we're good at. And my job is to put us in a position to win games. And so my job isn't to force us to run these three wide receiver sets because I like them and I think we're going to do well. My job is to run two or three tight ends and run the ball down Kansas City's throat because that's what's going to make us successful and get us the win. Because you play to win the games. That's why
Edwards,
yeah,
shout out.
Well, you know, Herm's good for a good line every now and then. You know, a goal without a plan is just a wish. That's another great one by Herm. And I got to tell you, it looks like the Broncos are just wishing half the time on offense right now because they don't really have a plan. And again, that goes back to identity too. What is the Broncos' identity on offense? I didn't see a true identity out there except for when Phillip Lindsay was on the field and they were running the ball really well. That was their identity. And they and Lindsay got injured. So he goes down.
A cheap shot by Sorensen.
On a cheap shot, of course. So I think they do have an identity. It's just a matter of Shurmur getting over his identity crisis and accepting what this team can do and then putting the team in a position, like you said, to be successful, putting them in a position to win games. Because they actually, if you think about it, they could have made this a lot closer if they didn't try and do so many things that they didn't need to do. I just keep picturing Melvin Gordon's face on that pitch on the flea flicker. That's the thing that just runs through my head this whole time.
The thing that I would like is to have a team of 22 people who had the heart and soul and character of Phillip Lindsay. If you had guys who played like him on every set of downs, it may not increase the likelihood that you succeed on Sunday, but you're going to have a team that doesn't give up, and you're going to have an offense that continues to fight. And for the life of me, how is Sorensen not ejected for that hit? Because he lowered his head and was targeting. That's something that should be looked at by the NFL.
Yeah, and they probably will.
And I hope they do. But the flea flicker. Is this 1970? I mean, are we watching Johnny Unitas when they get on the other side of the – when they get to the opponent's side of the field on the other side of the 50 and he throws the ball deep? But, I mean, the thing that keeps running through my head, you had the Herm Edwards, you play to win the game. If ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, no, there's not going to be Don a Merry Meredith. Christmas. There's not going to be a Merry Christmas in Denver.
Don Meredith, Monday Night Football.
That's right. Don.
The Broncos, you summed it up perfectly. What we saw on Sunday is a team that's good at football and another that's not. And that's the way it is right now. And they may be the maddening team that continues to fight and win 5 or 7 games and you pick 13th to 16th in the draft, which doesn't really allow you to do anything or pick any players that can drastically influence your team. And it's going to be in this situation for however many years. And
maybe 84 years, maybe. Who knows?
It might as well be. It's felt like 84 years the last 5. So
it's been rough. You asked the question, though, before we started recording, and I think it is it's a valid question to ask after a game that had us very frustrated. I will tell you, I've come down. I'm no longer kicking trash cans, so there's that. But
I'm still pissed that Tom McMahon has not been fired.
That is a whole other level of anger that I think is legitimate and something that has to be rectified and probably won't be. But you asked the question, and I will ask you the question because you asked me, and I'm curious what your thoughts are. You asked about where are you in panic mode at this point after watching that game and having sat through the entire length of the season to this point. Where are you on panic? Are you, slamming are we going DEFCON 3 or DEFCON 5 or whatever? Are we blowing it all up? Or is there, like we said before, light at the end of the tunnel that apparently was the train I mentioned in the last podcast? Sorry, I shouldn't have said that. Apparently I didn't realize we were in a tunnel. Dang it. But where are you on that?
I don't think it's time to panic just yet. I think we had bought the Mirage, and I think some in Broncos country are kind of like that thirst-quenched traveler through the desert where it's been so long since we have seen a team that can compete and win games, let alone an offense that can move the ball and score, that we wanted to think that what happened against New England was going to be able to happen against the Kansas City Chiefs. And that's not to say that it can't. There is still – what, they're 2-4, they've got 10 games left or so. Yeah, they got 10 games left in the season. I don't think it's time to panic, but I think it's time to realize that it's going to take some time. We were all hopeful that Drew Lock and the Broncos were going to be able to come into this season and compete for the playoffs. And perhaps they still can, because they were close against Tennessee. They were close against Pittsburgh. Both of those teams are combined, what?
Ten and one, something like that.
So they're two very good teams, and they were in it to win it. They had the ability to win both of those games. Obviously, the Chiefs is a different tale, and I think there's going to be moments where there's going to where this is going to happen. And I think the thing that's most frustrating is not necessarily the it's not the fact that the Broncos lost. It's the fact that they were embarrassed. They were flogged. That just shows, as we've said from the top, that the gap is really still the size of the Grand Canyon. And there, as I said in my winners and losers, there's really no evidence that it's going to shorten or change anytime soon. So that's where it's frustrating. The panic mode, I don't think that we're there yet, because we knew there were going to be struggles. This was going to be a team, especially with the injuries to Von Miller and Cortland Sutton, that it was going to be a struggle. But it's the fact that they were embarrassed. I mean, figure it out.
You've been listening to Mile High Report Radio. Get involved in the discussion at milehighreport.com. And as always, go Broncos.